That's my question! The question, jerk!
Hey, listen, nerds. It's time for another Two-Headed Nerd Answer of the Week podcast with Joe and Matt.
The holidays are over, and we are back to work.
Enough
Joe Patrick.
Fooling around.
You slacked off enough while I was out of town. I apologize to everybody.
I kept this sinking ship afloat while you were out of town.
When I'm back, and I'm cracking the whip, and we're playing the answer of the week, I realize that Christmas, Chanukah, Kwanzaa, Solstice, they're all gone. But we're going to keep the holidays rolling here while we talk about this week's question of the week. Listen to your answers to the question of the week. It's very simple. We post the question in the Two-Headed Nerd forums. We talk about the question on the show, and then you call us, you email us, and you answer it, and we play it right here on the air. It's as simple as that. We'll have full instructions on how to do so at the end of the show. For now, Joe Patrick, tell me what we asked the listeners for our holiday-themed question of the week.
This week's question came from last week's guest host, Wooly Toots, who wants to know, what's your favorite holiday-themed comic book story?
Speaking of Wooly Toots, he's first up. We recorded him while he was here. Let's see what he had for us.
Okay, identify yourself. This is a whole separate podcast.
That's right. I'm Wooly Toots.
All right.
I pretend to be Jared, but I'm really the Toots. All right, here we go. We're going back to 1997, December 3rd. Okay. My favorite holiday themed book, comic book, goes to a book that won two Eisner Awards, one for best anthology and one for best writer artist drama, to Scott Ali and Mike Mignola. This would be the Hellboy Christmas special. It's a wonderful book. The cover is gorgeous. It's a white cover with a ink drawing by Gary Gianni drew the cover. It's got Hellboy in like an old schooly tuxedo, like a Dickensy type high collar outfit, and he's sharing a celebratory drink with I believe in it, his name is Saint George. Or something like that, or Saint Benedict. He's the Gary Gianni character from Monstrous Corporum. He wears a knight helmet, but then he wears a suit. He was part of the anthology, a lot of anthology books that, like, you know, all those Dark Horse Book of Ghosts, Dark Horse Book of Witches and stuff like that. And then there's like a skeletal serving maid bringing them like a steaming hot turkey or something like that. And they're in front of a fireplace. It's a beautiful, beautiful piece of artwork. Inside is a few short stories, a couple written by Mignola, a couple by Gianni. There's a spread by Jeff Darrow and a couple things by Steve Purcell. It's really, you know, it's great. It's a really creepy book. There's, you know, Hellboy, travels to England on Christmas Eve and goes into a graveyard in search of the daughter of a dying woman who is married to a prince of the underworld. Like, there's like crazy stuff. And I believe like Saint Nick shows up at the end, or that might've been in a different book. I don't know. But yeah, that's it. I love that book. If you can find it, it's a super fun read.
Great answer. Has it ever been collected?
I don't think they've ever put it in a collection. I wonder if they squeaked it into that new Hellboy Tales collection. But I bet you they didn't.
Man, because I've never read that one. That's awesome. I'll have to track it down.
Yeah, it's really, really good stuff. So that's it for me, Joe.
Wooly Toots, the Hellboy Christmas special.
Still haven't read it.
He's nothing if not predictable. It was a great one.
You may have really noticed good. That I was present in that recording.
You were present in that recording, so we heard your feelings already. I like that answer, though. It's a solid one. Our first, the first answer we received was from our very own Doc Buzzard. And he says, I'm f-ing drunk doing this. I just thought he was drunk every week. Let's see.
Hello, Joe and Matt. Dr. Buzzard here. Answering your question of the week. What's your favorite holiday-themed comic book?
Sounds Australian.
It's probably going to be the same one that a lot of you have been saying the entire time. The Long Halloween. Even though it doesn't start out with Christmas. It does have all the holidays inside of it. It's one of my favourite. I had a couple of brews in me. I'm a bit buzzed. So, that's my answer, boys. Ta-da for now.
Doc Buzzard, the Long Halloween. I like it.
Out of the box, I like it.
You know,
we go straight to like holiday. Really, we go straight to like Christmas or whatever.
Yeah, it's, Toots did not specify Christmas, though it was at Christmas time when we
holiday
put out the question.
Yeah.
And yeah, I definitely allow it because the Long Halloween is one of my favorite Batman stories, period. Not just favorite holiday stories.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
it is an amazing work and it covers all the holidays.
It does. It does.
Totally counts.
Ryan Mount does a lot of things, but paying attention is not one of them. That's okay. We still love him.
It's not his fault.
He called in and answered last week's question. Send us an MP3 and answered last week's question, that is. We're going to go ahead and, you know, it's holiday. We're in a giving mood. It's a holiday time.
That's right. You're welcome.
Hey, Joe and Matt. This is Ryan, a.k.a. Hebrews on the Forums, calling in with my answer to the question of the week. Calling in from Cincinnati, even the phone says New Jersey, because I know Matt cares about that sort of thing.
It's true. I wonder where you are.
He's a weird pervert.
My gift actually came to me last night. We did Christmas presents early, and I received the Guardians of the Galaxy on cassette. It's just like the movie. It says awesome mix. and I don't know. I just think it is the absolute coolest piece of comic book collectability or whatever you want to call it that's ever been made.
Memorabilia.
I put it in the car this morning because I have an older car, so it was neat to play, and it's just, I don't know, I saw it and I just, it was so thoughtful and, you know, something I would never get for myself, which is crazy when it comes to comic stuff. So I was super happy to get it last night. Yeah, I think it's great. I think this is a best Christmas for comics because I happen to know that I'm also getting the Calvin and Hobbes complete collection, which was awesome.
What?
Oops, I guess that's two answers. But anyway, sorry for stinking up the Fantasy Football League this year and sorry for the long delay in calls. Got married and started about three new jobs.
So hey,
hopefully
Mazel
tov. More regular. All right. Happy holidays, guys. And I'll talk to you soon.
Is getting married one of those jobs? Because I could figure out a way to get paid to get married, I'd be totally into that.
You would just keep getting married?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, man. Cute answer. I like it. The cassette. Cassettes are back. I never thought I would say that, but they're hip again. It's so stupid. They're back.
Are they hip?
They're hip again. It's a terrible way to distribute music, but
this is why following fads is an idiotic idea.
They are bad.
Though I do love that they put out the Guardians of the Galaxy soundtrack on cassette.
Yeah, it makes sense.
I have no way to play that thing, even if I got one.
Yeah, I don't either. So there's a reason why I hate magnetic tape. Hate it. Regardless.
Magnetic tape killed your family.
No, it's just a terrible way to keep things. Let's go to the phone line. No idea who this is.
Brian DuPont.
Mystery Man. Is it DuPont?
Yes.
Yeah, it says, this is Brian.
Hey, Joe and Matt, this is Brian DuPont. I'm calling in my answer to your question this week. My favorite holiday issue has to be from the Green Lantern, the animated series written by Ivan Cohen, issue number 8. And in this one, this is where Hal Jordan lands on a planet and his ring is out of battery power. So he rescues a person named Maccabee, and she introduces him to her little brother, Judah. And for 8 long, tough, grueling days, they survive.
See what they're doing there?
Fighting off the lizard folk, as is written in Jewish history and during Hanukkah. And at one point, Hal Jordan actually dons on the blue and white colors instead of wearing green, and he leads these Maccabeans, these people, to victory over their lizard folk oppressors. And it's an excellent historical telling of Hanukkah. I think Hal Jordan is left out of the actual story of Hanukkah, but that's okay. I light a 9th candle anyway, just for Hal Jordan. And I'm, you know, that's just my Christian understanding of how Hanukkah works because of the Green Lantern animated series. Anyway, have an awesome holiday. Merry Christmas, and have a happy Hanukkah. And thanks for doing the show. See ya.
Brian, you're not far off. There was lizard people.
I'm not an expert.
There was a power ring. It was a different Green Lantern, though. Hal Jordan wasn't around back then.
No. It was name any other Green Lantern, you dummy. Abin Sur.
It was Abin Sur. Okay. All right.
Yeah, I don't remember a lot of lizard folk in the Old Testament.
Oh, there was a ton of them. They were all over the place.
But
a Hanukkah story. I love it.
Hey.
We've now got Halloween and Hanukkah. I love it. We're collecting. Someone's going to have a President's Day story here anytime now. John X sends us an MP3 every week, and we thank him for it. We tease him about being mad all the time. He's one of the most laid back.
He hates the holidays. He hates them.
I'll bet this is going to be a bittersweet story.
And I bet it's about Cyclops. That's his other story.
Hello, Twitter nerd. Sean X emailing in on this day after Christmas. Fantastic question this week. I had a lot of runners up on this one. It was really hard to choose. Claremont in his Uncanny X-Men run, he wrote some really good Christmas issues. And the one that I really stuck out to me was issue 230, but that reminded me of another one starring Wolverine in Uncanny X-Men 205.
Calling from a rest stop bathroom.
And Wolverine being the best there is at what he does. And what he does is get his ass saved by little girls. Rogue's done it. Kitty Pryde's done it. Jubilee's done it. And in this issue, the Reavers and Lady Deathstrike, I think it's the first Lady Deathstrike appearance, in the first Spiral's Body Shop, actually, as well. And Barry Windsor-Smith drawing it. Holy buckets of awesomeness, especially the snow in there. But anyway, Katie's out Christmas caroling, and during the hustle and bustle in New York City while Christmas shopping, Wolverine is getting attacked in the streets. And in that panic, Katie gets separated from her babysitter and ends up saving Wolverine's life as he's being hunted down by the Reavers and Lady Deathstrike. Barry Windsor-Smith and art in this issue is just top-notch. The snow in the air, the colors. It's one of my favorite covers of Uncanny X-Men. It would be number 3 behind the other two Silvestri covers that I really liked. And no, it wasn't a Silvestri cover contest. It was an Uncanny X-Men contest. But anyway, fantastic issue. Love it, love it, love it. And it captured. It wasn't like Christmas Day or anything, but it was totally Christmas themed and it was fantastic. Everybody should check it out. Issue 205 of Uncanny X-Men. Thanks, guys. Missing the show this week, but I'll see you guys in the new year. Peace.
It was a awesome issue. It was amazing. He's totally right. Barry Windsor-Smith drew it. It was beautiful.
I have no opinion.
You have no opinion?
It's been so long since I've read that era of X-Men that my memory is very spotty.
It was really, 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 really good.
I believe you. That. I mean, I remember enjoying it at the time.
I love that choice, and I haven't thought about that book in a long time. That is a really good Christmas issue.
I think I can totally picture that cover, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You can see it. Jason Sachs hits us with his favorite holiday issue, and I bet it's going to be a wacky one. He's into wacky stuff, this guy. I love him, though.
As any of us old-time comic fans know, Luke Cage's favorite expression was, "Sweet Christmas!" So it seems appropriate for Luke to receive a mention here. Luke Cage, Hero for Hire number 7, 1973, featured a story with the amazing title, Jingle Bombs. And the story inside lives up to its fabulous title. Writer Steve Englehart and artist George Tuska deliver a crazy version of A Christmas Carol that could only appear in a 1970s Marvel comic. On Christmas Eve, Luke sees a child beaten by a man wearing clothes out of a Charles Dickens novel. When Cage investigates the man, who identifies himself as Marley, castigates the boy for charging him more than 2 cents for a newspaper before disappearing into the New York night. Hope I don't have to explain what a newspaper is to you newfangled kids who only like the interwebs. You can guess where this is going. That was the ghost of Christmas past. Marley Present is a Vietnam War vet who tries to shoot Cage and his girlfriend as they're out for a walk in the Harlem night. Cage disarms him again, and again, the vet, or Marley, disappears. As Cage and Claire are walking home from dinner, they're attacked one more time, this time by Marley, dressed as a futuristic policeman out of George Orwell's 1984, who attacks the pair with a laser gun. Cage captures Marley and leaves him for the police, but the evildoer escapes. It turns out, this is the best part, the whole thing was a test to see if there was any good in mankind. humanity somehow has failed. So Marley pulls out a nuclear weapon. Yes, a nuclear weapon that would destroy the city. But just as Marley is about to set it off, he hears a sound coming down his chimney. Yeah, this is so corny. I'm having trouble stopping my giggling. But you know what? This is Harlem, and that was a thief. It wasn't Santa Claus, kids. Cage defeats Marley, removes the weapon from its place of danger, and New York is saved. If there's a message in this bizarro Christmas story, I can't find it. And that's why this is one of my Jason Sachs, at Jason Sachs on the Twitters, favorite Christmas stories. Bye.
Always likes to make an entrance and an exit, that guy.
I think the message was Christmas in the 1970s was very different for black people than white people.
Look, man, there were no black people drawing the adventures of Luke Cage back then.
White people were just guessing what it must be like. So obviously this is how it was for Luke Cage. Wow. That's a hell of a holiday issue.
You can always count on Sachs to come up with an out-of-the-box answer.
That's a great answer. Our final call this week comes from Randy Andrews. It was a short week, I get it. Or it was a busy week, we had holidays and everything. We can do better than this, guys. And we'll discuss our new question in just a minute here. But first, we'll come up with something.
Okay.
Randy, take it away.
Greetings, Joe and Matt. This is Randy Andrews emailing in for the question of the week. This week, you had asked, what is your favorite holiday-themed comic story? Well, guys, I haven't been reading comics that long, but I have to say, most recently, the comic that I feel that was my favorite was Learning to Crawl with Spider-Man number 700.1 through 700.5. The best thing about this comic is that it showed Peter Parker during Christmas time, and he was having to fight crime, having to fight against Electro, for one thing, and he was freezing, and he had a cold, and it was more of a character study on Peter Parker dealing with this battling of a cold during Christmas. And he even got help from people on the street to give him a ride, and because his webbing wasn't working right because of the winter weather. Well, that's my favorite story right now, guys. I hope you like it, and check out my soundtrack blog at soundtrackalley.net. And this week, my music is from Spider-Man. It's the theme by Danny Elfman. And I will see you guys in a week. Bye for now.
It was a really good story. Like, young Peter Parker had just sort of become Spider-Man, and it was starting to get cold outside, and he didn't really consider that his suit does not keep him warm. Right. And like, his feet were wet. He got super sick.
So it's more of a seasonal story than a holiday story, but I'll take it.
Well, it happened around Christmas. This was right around Christmas. But it was really good. Learning to Crawl was fun.
Yeah.
I liked it a lot. Thank you, Randy. We appreciate your call every week.
Every time Learning to Crawl came out, I had to explain to people that this is an issue of Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And it's like, stop trying to reject it. It was Spider-Man. It's written by Dan Slott.
The same old Marvel point whatever crap that people just go, ugh, tune out. I don't need it. Favorite call.
This is hard.
Favorite call. I'm giving it to Sachs. Give it to Sachs because he did some homework and came up with a really weird Christmas issue.
You know what? I'm going to give mine to Brian DuPont just because he picked a Hanukkah story even though he's not Jewish.
Yeah. He picked a Hanukkah story and he thinks he's got a pretty good grip on Hanukkah. And he's not far off.
And thanks, Green Lantern. Thanks, Green Lantern, for illuminating the Hanukkah story.
Nicely done.
For this Gentile.
Animated,
I appreciate it.
Animated Green Lantern, nonetheless.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I just because I think it's super cute that he's like, yeah, Hanukkah, I get it.
And now I know.
Right. Yeah, you're right. But it was short and sweet this week.
Let's get into ours.
All right. Let's do it.
Go ahead. Take it away, Joe Patrick. I'm going to keep knocking this down.
All right. Well, you're going to be real mad at me, but my favorite holiday-themed story in comics is JSA 54.
It's mine, too. It's mine, too.
All right, so here's what we're going to do. Because it's our show and we can, damn it.
Okay.
We're going to say that jointly, our favorite holiday stories are JSA 54 and 55. a 1-2 Thanksgiving Christmas punch.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell you why.
All right.
JSA 54 is the Thanksgiving issue where the Justice Society has invited the Justice League over to the Brownstone for Thanksgiving dinner. And the entire time, Batman is super paranoid that something's going to go wrong.
Well, and this was right after Virtue and Vice had come out. And this
it was
called,
a year. It was the following
Virtue,
year.
Vice, and Pumpkin Pie.
Virtue, Vice, and Pumpkin Pie, right?
Virtue, Vice, and Pumpkin Spice, I think.
No, Pumpkin Pie. You were right the first time. Yeah, I just reread it this morning. And the whole time, Batman is paranoid about having all these superheroes in one place. Like, don't you know that every time we get together, we get attacked? And he's constantly like barging into the monitor room, asking if there's anything wrong, or making sure that, you know, have we heard anything from whatever? Is it all quiet? Blah, blah, blah. How is, our man, how was your psychic visions? Anything we should be aware of? And he's like, calm down. Mr. Trivik's just like, Batman, chill out.
Right.
And the second they sit down to dinner, two of the world's worst supervillains bust into the JSA Brownstone to get their revenge on the Justice Society and the Justice League. Because one's a JLA, an obscure JLA villain, and the other one is an obscure JSA villain.
Yeah.
And they immediately realize, holy shit, there's like 30 guys here.
Yeah.
And so there's no fight, or if they fight, it's all off panel.
It happens real quick.
Yeah. And in the end, they order pizza, and Mr. Trific's gift to Batman is to let Batman say that he told him so.
Yeah.
And it's a great story.
It's a bunch of, there's a lot of interpersonal stuff that goes on.
Yes. That's just also fantastic. There's
Green Arrow and Hawkman get into it.
Right.
It's great.
There's some, they touch on Black Canary, and Dr. Midnight, who had a thing, but then Green Arrow came back from the dead and it got weird.
Whoops.
And Stargirl gets put at the kids table and is real pissed about it. But Captain Marvel gets to sit at the adult table and she wants to rat him out. And he's like, Ixnay, Ixnay. Nobody knows.
And he's kind of heavy into Stargirl at the time, too.
Yeah, right. In fact, they're all like, it causes some problems.
But he can't say anything. They're like, well, you're a full grown adult man. And she's like 16.
Right.
Like,
it causes a lot of
and
drama.
And Billy's like 15.
Right. Yeah, right. It's just a really great issue. The next one, 55. Is a Christmas issue, and it starts with this being narrated by this person dressed up as Santa Claus, and they are at a department store. They're late to their department store gig because they stopped to help a couple whose car broke down and they need a ride. And just as they show up getting ready to sit down to talk to kids at this department store, some creeps show up to rob it. And what you don't realize until after the attack is that the person dressed as Santa is Ma Hunkle, the original Red Tornado. And the JSA show up in the nick of time to stop the robbers because they come and visit her every year. And what you find out is that Ma Hunkle, who had not been seen literally in decades in comics, had been in witness protection because she busted this gang that threatened her family. And so she like had to fake her death and go away. And the JSA showed up as they do every year to honor her and visit her because they knew about her sacrifice, to let her know that the last surviving member of this gang had died. And she was able to come home.
I remember all of this now. Okay.
And she was able to come home and she became the curator of the JSA Museum and became like the team's grandma.
Yep.
And so those two issues back to back are two amazing holiday stories.
And like just Geoff Johns at his best.
You bet.
At his best.
The Thanksgiving issue was drawn by Don Kramer, whom I terribly miss in comics.
I do too.
I don't know where he went. And Christmas issue is drawn by Leonard Kirk, who is one of my favorite artists.
Yeah.
I love that guy. And yeah, you're absolutely right. That is the JSA book that we have talked so fondly of in the past at like the height of its power.
Oh, man.
It comes surprisingly late in the run, like 54 and 55.
Yeah. Yeah. But like each year they kind of did like a Thanksgiving issue. Geoff Johns would do like a little thing. There was always like a JSA Thanksgiving.
But you know what? I don't
remember
any of them as much as I remember those
two.
No,
these were the best. Yeah. Far and away the best. And like, I think there were smaller parts of the issue of the book. Like there was always a JSA Thanksgiving thing and people stopped by and stuff, but it was maybe a couple pages.
Yeah.
This one was like a whole issue.
Well,
it was so good.
And these two issues showed what really made that book special, and that was the personal interactions between the characters.
Oh yeah.
That book had a large cast, and in the case of the Thanksgiving issue, it was double the size, because not only was it the JSA, but it was the JLA.
Yeah.
And Johns was able to manage every character's personality flawlessly.
Yeah. There, man, he was so good.
They should have never promoted him. I mean, I feel bad for saying it, but like the worst thing that happened to that dude as a writer was getting a job with actual responsibility at DC.
Yeah.
And
too bad.
You can tell that his whatever fire he had is focused elsewhere, but that's a whole nother podcast.
This is a great question. It's a good way to
put I feel good about it.
Put a little bow on the holidays.
Yeah.
We got nothing coming up until freaking Valentine's Day, and nobody cares about that shit. You know, give me a break. Before we say goodbye here, we got to talk about next week's question of the week.
You know what? I got a good one.
Okay.
And we did this one before.
We did.
And I don't remember if we did it on the... It's been so long that I don't know if we had the second podcast when we did it.
Okay.
But it was brought up by forum user Scott Evil.
Okay.
Who we haven't heard from in a while.
It's been a little bit.
He says, why not ask your listeners for their nerd year's resolutions?
Oh, yeah.
It's the new year.
Yeah.
It's 2015.
Let's hear it. Nerd
the year amazing future year of 2015.
Yeah. What are you giving up? What are you going to check out? What are you doing different this year? Let's hear it. Nerd year resolutions. I love it.
Now, Scott listed off some of his.
Okay.
And I'm not going to read them.
No, let's hear a suggestion.
I want Scott to call in.
Oh, okay. I see you working. I see you working.
Scott, I'm challenging you to call in.
Nerd year resolutions.
That could be all of your nerd year resolutions to call into the answer of the week.
There you go. There you go. And list a few. This is one of the few times we're going to let you have a couple of answers.
Yes, right. Because you don't need to go into huge depth into all of them.
No. But just list a few of them, you know?
Scott rattles off three ones really quick. They're all very self-explanatory.
There you go.
Perfect.
I love it. Keep it under 3 minutes. Be cut off. Those are the rules.
You can list 20 of them if you can get it done in 3 minutes.
Yeah, if they're rapid fire, I don't care. But under 3 minutes, kids. Thanks so much to everybody that answered this question. We hope you all had a wonderful holiday season. I know we did. Next week, we are back to business as usual with the regular Two-Headed Nerd Comic Book Podcast.
Hey, and thanks everybody for making it a great 2014 for us.
No doubt. We had a great time. Looking forward to 2015. It's going to be awesome. But for now,
it's our fourth anniversary, you know, coming up.
Coming up real quick here.
Episode 200.
Crazy. For now,
I'm just going to jump off a building when it's over.
This is the Two-Headed Nerd signing off.
Alec Baldwin here. If you've got an answer for the question of the week, you can call the THN Cigarette Hotline at 402-819-4894 and leave a message, or send an MP3 to twoheadednerd@gmail.com. Well, I guess these pills aren't going to take themselves. Good night, cruel holiday season. They call me back, no sir, and I like from the call.